everyone. Welcome back to the Bramble Podcast. I'm Kim. I'm your host, just in case you're listening in for the first time. And I just want to give you a warm welcome today. Today is our wonderful Thanksgiving episode. It's so exciting. It's Thanksgiving week. Lots of us are cooking up a storm in the kitchen. And some of us are just making dishes to take to someone else's house. So, you know, no matter what you're doing this week, or even if you're not celebrating the holiday, today I'm going to give you lots of tips and tools. So it's, you know, almost that time of year, and we're just going to have like a Thanksgiving bonanza today. So I'm giving you the complete lowdown on my favorite tips and tricks for prepping a big holiday meal. I'm going to give you ideas on how to set the table and make your event kind of extra festive. And of course, for all my dear fellow vegans out there, I'm going to give you some tips on managing, you know, kind of the social situations of being vegan and sharing this big holiday meal with non-vegan friends and family. This can be kind of one of those days in which if you're new and on your vegan journey, things can be a little bit, they can seem a little bit daunting, but I'm going to give you some tips that, you know, we've been talking a lot about the social aspects of being vegan throughout our episodes and our blog posts, but today I'm going to give you kind of my number one tool when it comes to dealing with social situations, especially on this day, because it's a day in which food is such a big part of the event, right? So, you know, I'm going to cover all of these different aspects today, and we're going to, of course, start with those tips for prepping. So tips to rock your Thanksgiving prep. No, it doesn't matter if you're cooking the full meal like I am, or if you are, you know, just making some dishes to take to your family's house, some vegan dishes to kind of round out your meal or to have options yourself if you're going to a non-vegan Thanksgiving. So we've got lots to cover, so we're going to get right to it. So I'm going to start with those little tips for that prep. And, you know, even if you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, all of the tips that I'm going to give you are perfect for the holiday season too. So if you live outside the U.S., and you're not celebrating Thanksgiving. I live outside the US, but I am celebrating it. And so if this is the case for you, just kind of swap the word Thanksgiving for whatever holiday or tradition you celebrate this time of year. Because, you know, it's just, it has to do with prepping a big meal and doing it in a way that it's just not as overwhelming. It can be overwhelming, especially if you're getting started with cooking. But it can be fun and it can be simple and you can get organized and get ready so that you are not going crazy on that day and you can still enjoy hanging out with friends and family. So let's start with number one. My first tip is to decide on your menu a few weeks before tea day and make your shopping list early in the week. So chances are you've already decided on your menu. I hope you have. And if not, it's time to do it today. And make your shopping list, okay? Make your shopping list early in the week. I'm making my shopping list today because I'm actually not cooking my Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday. I'm cheating a little bit. We're doing it on Saturday. We've got some special guests coming over from overseas, and I'm so excited about it. I'll tell you more about that a bit later, but I'm actually making my shopping list today. Today is Tuesday, and you're actually getting this episode today, a few days before you usually get it, so you can kind of get ready and use some of these tips. So make that shopping list early in the week. You know, cooking a big meal can be a little bit overwhelming, especially if you leave everything until the very last minute. And it all starts with the shopping list. This is something that people kind of take for granted, and it's essential. And here's why. First, you're going to plan your menu, right? You're going to plan your menu early on. You're going to know what dishes you're going to make, and you're immediately going to make your shopping list. And this way, if, for example, you're in the center of town where you normally do your shopping and you're running errands and you happen to pass by the health food store that sells, I don't know, that yummy non-dairy whipped cream for those pies, you'll know exactly what you need and it will save you time throughout the week. So if you're walking past a store and you already have your list with you, you can start kind of taking things off of that list. And it's going to prevent you from taking multiple trips to the store. So just start kind of getting organized with this. I especially have to sometimes go to different stores where I live to get a few of the ingredients that I use for my Thanksgiving dinner. So this really helps me because if I'm doing something and I see that the store is open, I just walk in and I take, you know, I buy what I need at that moment and then I just forget about it. I keep it in the pantry. So this is really, really helpful. Don't forget about the shopping list. Remember, organization is everything when it comes to cooking delicious food and not having it feel like, I don't know, like it's this horrible, horrible, difficult task, because it isn't. All right, so tip number two is very important, and almost nobody thinks about this when we're prepping for Thanksgiving. It's to organize your fridge and clear out space in your fridge and your freezer. You know, so much overwhelm on Thanksgiving starts the second you need to put something away in the fridge and not an inch of space is available. You've been there, right? You've been there when you, I don't know, you're finished cooking or you're preparing some of the dishes that you can prepare ahead of time and there's no space in the fridge and you waste so much time. So, you know, this always kind of fills my kitchen with a very loud grunt and a vow to clear my fridge a few days before Thanksgiving next year. And I keep forgetting. So this is a reminder for you and for me that I'm going to clear out space and have empty shelves and empty kind of space in the fridge so that things can go in there. And also for all the leftovers you might have. So, you know, it's very, very important. Same goes for having clear counters in the kitchen. You've heard me talk about this before. So clear out your counters, clear out that dishwasher. If your dishwasher is full, clear it out. Have all of this ready the night before Thanksgiving so that everything's ready for your meal prep and your cooking. Okay, very important. Now, if you want more tips on keeping your kitchen organized, you're not sure how to do this and you have a little bit of time before Thanksgiving, I want you to check out our free video series, because so much of that series, so many videos in that series are about organization and getting your kitchen kind of really, really organized and just putting systems into place so that, you know, cooking is a little bit easier. So go check that out at bramble.com in the homepage. You're going to see it right there. It's just kind of like my tips and my tools to kind of revamp your eating habits, but not only by the choices you make at the table, but by other little habits and tricks, including organization. So go check that out if you haven't checked it out already. Now, tip number three, plan your menu with some dishes that can be made ahead of time. This is kind of old school, right? Everybody kind of knows that if you can make some dishes ahead of time, things are gonna be a lot easier, especially if you have a small kitchen or you're just one person doing all the cooking, or you have, you know, limited space in the oven and lots of dishes that have to be baked, this type of thing, right? Making things ahead of time can really save you time and stress. So pie dough, for example, and sometimes even the whole pie, and cranberry sauce, and vegetable broth, and gravies, and even some casseroles, all of these can be done ahead of time. And this will help you tremendously so you can also enjoy the day and don't have to spend it all in the kitchen, okay? So I'll say those again. Pie dough, for example, or the whole pie. A lot of people make a whole apple pie, they freeze it, and then they just bake it. So this is an option. It's not what I choose to do. I make my pie dough ahead of time. I'm going to tell you that in a second, but let's continue on with the list. Pie dough, cranberry sauce can be made ahead of time, vegetable broth for those gravies or any dish that you're making, stuffing, for example. Gravies, very, very easy to do ahead of time, and they get this nice, rich flavor. It's awesome. And even many casseroles can be made ahead of time, and then you just pop them in the oven to warm them up and get them nice and golden brown if that's the case. So what I like to do with my pie dough, for example, well, I like to make my pie dough and my gravy the day before, and I keep them both in the fridge. And for example, I assemble my pies and bake early in the morning. So I have my pie dough ready to go, covered in plastic wrap. It's all ready, and it's really nice that it's nice and cold. That's going to give you a very flaky pie crust. And in the morning, I bake my pie. That's the first thing I do. Now, sometimes a pie made the day before is also perfect if you bring it back down to room temperature before serving, okay? So if you make the whole pie the night before or the day before and put it in the fridge, just make sure to bring it back to room temperature before you serve it. Now, some pies can get a little bit of condensation. That means if you covered the pie with plastic wrap, you can get some of those little drops of water in the kind of surface. This is especially typical with pumpkin pie. And so, you know, just keep that in mind. This isn't going to happen if you just do it early in the morning and you put it in the fridge. Remember, pumpkin pie needs to chill for a few hours. But if this happens, don't worry. Just kind of blot those little droplets out with a little paper towel really carefully, and it should be fine. So these are two options. Do whatever works for you. I like to do mine fresh in the morning, but I make my pie dough beforehand. All right, so again, take into account that some pies require chilling time. Pumpkin pie usually requires about 4 hours of chilling time. So, you know, this is a perfect example of a pie that you can do ahead of time or early in the morning, like I said. So this Saturday when I do my Thanksgiving, again, I'm cheating. It's not on Thursday. I'm sorry. It's on Saturday. The first thing I'm going to do when I wake up really early, I wake up really early on that day. The first thing is I make my pie, let it cool, and then I pop it in the fridge until, you know, it's close to dinner time. Then I take it out and I bring it back down to room temp. Okay. Now, also, lots of chopping can be done ahead of time. So chop lots of vegetables. If you're doing things with mushrooms or peppers or onions, just do this ahead of time. And that's going to save you a ton of time as well. Also, dishes like, for example, roasted or caramelized onions or shallots can be done ahead of time, no problem. And then you just warm them up and kind of reheat all of that caramelization so that it gets nice and melty again. Braised cabbage, if you like doing this, this is a classic in our holiday dinner, in our Christmas dinner. So braised cabbage, if you're making it with maple and pecans and this type of dish, this can be done ahead of time. You can also do the parboiling of green beans if you're making a green bean casserole ahead of time. So parboiling is you just kind of par cook. That's called par cooking or parboiling. You very quickly put them in, either steam them for a very short amount of time, or you plop them in boiling water, boiling salted water, and you just let them be there for a few seconds, take them out, put them in an ice bath, and that's gonna halt the cooking process, but they're already partly cooked. So then you can make a very quick casserole or any type of dish afterwards. So again, all your Thanksgiving sauces, so the cranberry sauce, the gravies, all of that can be done ahead of time. Things like vegetable pâtés, if you're doing some appetizers or a beautiful appetizer platter, or you're making your own vegan cheeses or cheese spreads for crackers, if you're serving it at the beginning of the meal. This can also be made the day before, and they might even develop a richer flavor. So if you love making pâtés or dips, this type of thing you can do ahead of time, no problem. So that was tip number three. Now, tip number four is to include some store-bought items along with your homemade dishes. This tip is not mine. This tip comes from who I believe is the goddess of entertaining, even though she is nowhere near vegan, and I wish she made more vegan dishes, but this comes straight from the Barefoot Contessa. If you don't know who that is, just look her up, because she's the sweetest, most awesome person ever. And yes, all she cooks is, you know, very, very meat-heavy dishes, but I love her tips for entertaining. So this is something that she always recommends. And if she does it, and she's, I'm telling you, she's the goddess of, you know, creating home-cooked meals for entertaining, big parties, big holiday gatherings. She's like the total pro, right? So if she uses store-bought items along with the things she prepares at home, I'm telling you, you can do it and I can do it, right? It's not going to remove anything. It's not going to make it less special. It's just going to help you out a ton. This is something that I've been doing for years now to just help me out and just have a lot of variety during that meal as well. So include some store-bought items along with your homemade dishes. For example, many appetizers or desserts or even sides or like little small additions can be store-bought and they can still be delicious. So this really helps save time and kind of prevents feeling overwhelmed when you're cooking. So for example, you can buy little toast rounds that are already toasted, crackers, or your favorite bread or breadsticks, and kind of assemble a delicious appetizer platter with some olives, some figs, some grapes, some vegan cheeses, and make it beautiful. And no one will even notice that these items all came from a store. All of these items can be store-bought, and you can have a beautiful kind of appetizer platter where everybody can dig in and have some cheese and crackers and some fruit and anything you like to put here, you know, pâtés or, I don't know, spreads, dips. So you get the idea, right? You can buy certain things and have them, serve them beautifully, and no one will even notice. And you can even tell people there's nothing to be ashamed about here. So another thing you can do is order your vegan pies in advance if you want to focus only on making the savory components of your meal. And if, for example, the main dish is what's stressing you out about a big holiday meal, buy one of the delicious vegan roasts that are available these days and just make a yummy gravy and sides to go with it, and that's it, right? So you have that centerpiece. You're not going to mess it up. It's so easy to prepare these that they come practically ready-made. So this is another option, and it's totally, totally fine. All right, so tip number 5 is important, and it's possibly the one that is hardest for most people. And it's to accept help, accept contributions, and even go potluck style if this makes things a little bit easier for you. You know, I find that people love to help out, and that when they're offering to bring a dish or get there earlier to give you an extra pair of hands, I think they really mean it. I think people, when they tell you this and they're excited about sharing a meal with you and spending time with friends and family, they really mean it when they want to help. So, you know, they find it fun as well as kind of a great excuse to drink some wine and catch up while you work together in the kitchen, right? So I know that it's hard to delegate in the kitchen. I know it's hard. I know you feel like, you know, it's going to take extra time to explain things to people, but it really doesn't. And it makes everything so much more fun when you have people in the kitchen with you. So this one is hard, but it helps. All right, now another thing you can do is having a potluck style Thanksgiving. This is also a great idea to kind of share in the work, but also the cost of the food. And you can either cook together with friends if your space allows, if you have a kitchen that allows for people to be there, or you can ask everyone what their specialty is and decide on some other dishes that you can make to round out the meal. And that way, if you do it organized like this, you can prevent having those 3 different types of mashed potatoes at the table. So this is a typical, typical thing. If you don't get organized properly, you're going to have a lot of the same dishes. So just get organized and do it. Although I have to tell you that 3 types of mashed potatoes, that doesn't sound that terrible at all. All right. So tip number six is so helpful. It's so helpful. It's one of my favorite tips. It's to set the table the night before, especially if you don't have to use it for breakfast the next day. If you eat in your kitchen, for example, and you're using your dining room table for the big dinner, or even if you're not, if you eat at the same table, we, for example, have breakfast, lunch, dinner, and entertain, everything happens in our dining room table. So if this is the case, just kind of set part of it and then leave a little space for breakfast, and then you complete. Then you can finish kind of arranging everything. So this really, really helps. So the night before Thanksgiving it's just such a crucial time, and so much can get done, from cooking make-ahead dishes to setting out all the serving dishes and utensils you'll need. You have no idea how much this will help you, because you don't want to do this when food is hot and you're about to serve it. You don't want to waste time at that crucial moment. You want everything to get to the table nice and warm. So this is really helpful. Set out all the serving dishes and utensils you're going to need and set the table. Now, I'm giving you lots of ideas for table setting and decor in a little bit, so keep on listening for that. But, you know, it's always a time in which we want to have a beautiful holiday table, and this takes a little bit of time to set everything in place. So do it the night before. That's what I do. All right. So tip number 7 is to write down your game plan a few days before. Now, what do I mean by game plan? I want you to make a list of the dishes that you're preparing and what you'll be cooking in advance. That's part 1. I want you to write down a list of everything you need to cook on Thanksgiving, on that day, and the order in which you'll be cooking each item. So I want you to take into account the chilling times of pies or of salads, or, you know, how many things will need to go in the oven or on the stove, and where you're going to cook each one. So what casserole dishes or what pots is each thing going to be cooked in? So this way you'll know if you need to buy any extra gear, any extra pans or casserole dishes or cookie sheets, anything like that. But this list will also prevent you from finding that kind of special sauce or that side dish a day later, right? Realizing you completely forgot to serve it. And yes, this has happened to me several times, especially when you're like me and you're you go obsessed and you go crazy over having so many dishes on these special occasions that you just forget that you had some beautiful, perfect little roasted carrots waiting for you there that you made the night before, and you forget to serve them. So this helps with that. But it also helps with not having to think so much while you're preparing. You know, I love to take, I think cooking is such a, it's kind of a meditation in motion, right? So I love to put on some music and cook and just focus on the food. And I don't want to be thinking of the order when I'm cooking. So I just want everything mapped out. And all you have to do is look at the list and follow the plan. So also another thing you can do is write down how and where you'll reheat sauces, for example, and everything else. How are you going to reheat things that you made before so that everything gets to the table nice and warm? If you have a game plan and you spend just a few minutes organizing this and putting it on paper, I promise you that on Thanksgiving, you won't even have to think as that much. You just have to focus on making the food delicious and follow the plan. Really important. All right, number eight is something I've mentioned in, I think I mentioned this in a Q&A video we had. I think somebody asked me how you get all the dishes to the table at the same time and warm. Somebody was struggling with this. I think it was a Q&A video. So tip number eight is to warm your dishes in the microwave or in a low oven before serving. Now, granted, your oven might be like packed with other things you're reheating. So if this is the case, the microwave really helps. Just put the dishes in the microwave and warm them up, or, you know, put them, yeah, I think the oven and the microwave are my two favorites for this. If you warm your dishes, it will help your food from getting cold too fast while you do any pre-eating rituals. For example, if you say grace, if this is a part of your dinner tradition, or, and I'm so guilty here, if you insist on taking a ton of photos of the table with all the food there before you start eating, right? You don't want all the food getting cold. And you did such a good job of reheating everything without making it dry out and being overly, you know, cooked. So just respect your dishes, respect that little warmth you created in the oven and on the stove, and warm up your dishes. And this is going to help you a ton. It's going to help you a ton. All right. Tip number nine is remember that there's no need to be perfect. I want you to have fun while you cook and while you serve. You know, things, they have a way of sorting themselves out as soon as you start cooking and crossing items off your list. That's why the game plan is so important. And it's okay if you need an extra pair of hands, if you eat a little bit later than planned, or if something needs to be reheated because it got cold while you were bringing all the other stuff out. It's fine. You know, people will be enjoying themselves and they will most likely be in awe of your delicious grub. And because let's face it, who doesn't love to go to a dinner where you don't have to do anything and there's awesome food served at the table? I mean, what's better than that, right? I'm hardly ever on that side of the spectrum, well, because I'm always cooking, but it's so much fun. It's really so much fun. So people are going to be having a blast, even if things didn't go exactly as planned. So remember, there's no need to be perfect. And, you know, just enjoy the ride. Enjoy the moment. And tip number 10, this is where I get mushy. This is where I get mushy. This is the reason why I love Thanksgiving. And tip number 10 is to always be thankful. You know, I know it's kind of a cliche, right? But it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. I want you to be grateful for the people that are around you. I want you to laugh at yourself if you burnt the edges of your casserole, or if you burnt your entire meal and you had to order Chinese takeout. You know, this is where family memories are made and where memories with friends are made. And it's the people around us that is really important. I want you to be grateful for the fact that we have food on the table, which we so, so often take for granted, and is one of the greatest blessings that we can have, to have food on the table. So always be thankful. That's my last tip when it comes to prepping your Thanksgiving dinner. Okay, so even though we got mushy and sentimental, and that would have been a great way to end the episode, we're not ending the episode because we have to talk now about decor and table setting ideas. So this is going to be awesome. I have lots of great pictures of everything I'm about to describe to you in the post that corresponds to this episode. So just go to bramble.com and search for that post, and you'll see the links and the photos, which are awesome, but I'm going to do my best to describe them for you. Okay, so the first one I absolutely loved was a beautiful table setting by domino.com, and it's a table setting that is perfect if you kind of want to stay away from orange, you know, so much of Thanksgiving is orange and browns and yellows and reds, all of those fall colors, but you might be a little bit sick of them by now. So if you want to go a different route, this was kind of a jewel-toned table and it was so beautiful. It had kind of wildflowers and lots of very bright colors, oranges and purples and bright hot pink and lots of green, kind of lots of green in between, and artichokes. So artichokes kind of in those flower arrangements. The flower arrangements were really low. And then you had these beautiful long tapers, these beautiful long candles in a very dark shade of burgundy. And it's just awesome. It looks like a fairy tale. And it was also a table outside, which of course in a garden, I mean, how beautiful is that? We couldn't have our Thanksgiving dinner outside, even if I wanted to, because it's freezing cold outside this year. But this is a great idea, and it's so, so, so beautiful. So go check that picture out. It's fantastic. Now, another great idea, which I might use for my Thanksgiving. You know, I don't want to tell you a lot about my Thanksgiving or the menu I'm serving ahead of time, because three listeners of this podcast are coming to my dinner, my Thanksgiving dinner. So I don't want to spoil the surprise. You get it, right? But what I am going to do is we're going to film lots of little clips throughout the day, and then you're going to see everything I did. You're going to see all of our Thanksgiving. It's going to be really cool. So this next one is these little kind of really gorgeous and very easy DIY napkin rings that you make yourself. But when I say make, I mean kind of just wrap around a napkin. It's that easy. So these are very woodsy and beautiful. These are by Paper and Lace. And this just means that you have a white or cream colored napkin, cloth napkin. You roll it up and you're going to use a kind of little, I don't know, a little kind of cream colored rope or string, and you're going to wrap it around it, and you're going to hold a little cinnamon stick and some pine leaves or pine needles with that cinnamon stick, and you're going to tie everything together. So what you have is like a little bundle with the napkin in the bottom. On top you have that cinnamon stick and that beautiful little pine, how do you say it? Pine needles? Pine leaves? I'm not sure. But you know, that little mini branch of a pine, very bright green, and you have that little string wrapping several times around all of that. So you have this perfect little bundle, and it's really cute. It's really woodsy, and it's so simple. I always like to give you simple, because not all of us have time to, you know, paint pumpkins in white, which is a very big trend this year and all of that. But I'm going to give you ideas just in case you have time to do that. Okay, next up is a beautiful long table centerpiece from, I'm going to mess this up because my French is terrible, but this is a French website, but you know, you can even check it out and see how they did it, but it's called Trucks et Bricolage. I'm not sure how to say that, but yeah, that's it. And it's a very beautiful long table with a long cream colored runner all through the center, and then no tablecloth, so just the wood of the table at each place setting. This is beautiful. I thought this was beautiful. And all along that table runner, you just had some green leaves. You know, they can be anything from, I don't know, sage leaves or rosemary or pine leaves or needles, and you know, any kind of little green leaf or green branches with leaves attached. And you kind of drape those around and you kind of put those in the center. And then on several different spots, it has kind of these little mini tree stumps with a little candle, a white candle on top, and then some higher candles, some lower candles, and also some glass bottles for water all throughout. I thought this was beautiful. And it's very simple. And then you just have your place setting with your beautiful plates and your silverware and your, you know, glasses, wine glasses. And you have to check it out. It's really pretty. I hope I'm doing it justice, and I hope you're understanding what I'm talking about while I describe it. Okay, another great option if you like to have little place cards with people's names on it. I love that. So this is a very fall and woodsy kind of way of setting those place cards. And this is by Stampington, it was a website I was very impressed by. I didn't know it. You should check it out. It's really beautiful. It's got lots of decor ideas that are just beautiful. So this was just some pine cones that you can go if you live near a wooded area. You can just go and grab those, or you can, I'm sure you can buy these in bags where they sell stuff for decor, and they're probably very inexpensive. But I always take the dogs and we go to the woods and we pick those out from the floor. They're everywhere. So just use a little pine cone, and they painted the little edges of the pine cones in orange, for example, or whatever color scheme you're using, and then just use a little kind of card stock paper or a little place card with the person's name on it, which you can use some of these like letter stamped letters that you can do, or you can print them out, and then you just stick that little place card in the pine cone, because the pine cone has all of those little ridges. It's going to help hold it in place. I thought that was beautiful. You can even place this on top of the plate, of each person's plate. I thought it was just so cute. So cute. Okay, another little option that is also on the very, very easy end of the spectrum is a beautiful little kind of DIY rosemary wreath. This is by Inspired by Charm. I thought this was so smart. And it's just, you basically take a kind of sprig of rosemary, you twist it so it becomes a circle, and you tie it with a cute little string. And that's it. And you can place that in the center of the plate. You can put the person's name hanging from the little string if you want. You know, it's just so cute. It's beautiful and works for the holiday season too. All right, another little option, which is great, especially if you have little traditions in Thanksgiving, like writing lists of what you're thankful for, is these little DIY lists for the table by Blesser House. And I think if you go to their website, and the link is in this post that I'm telling you about that goes with this episode, if you go to the link, I think they even have the printable. I'm not sure, but I think they have the printable. And this was a beautiful setting, table setting, with very kind of light, very washed out green, pumpkins and eucalyptus leaves. Eucalyptus is a great option for that table setting I told you before where you needed the leaves, by the way. And they just put at the center of each plate a little, the person's, I think it's a napkin, and then a little cardboard kind of brown colored cardstock paper with the words I'm thankful for and some little lines for people to write, a little pencil with a beautiful golden end, and they tied all of that together with a little string and another little piece of eucalyptus, and it was adorable. It's just beautiful. If you have these little traditions, this is something I think you would love. And next up is, you know, when you really want to go like completely out and you want to create something that's going to be on Pinterest, or just make your own kind of simpler version of this too. This was this is a gorgeous table, and it's a color scheme that you rarely get to see on Thanksgiving, and I think it's so, so elegant. I just loved it. So this is by Wedding Chicks, and these are kind of painted pumpkins. So different sizes of pumpkins, and they're painted in lots of different colors. And the color scheme is this. They had some white pumpkins with the little stem, I think spray painted with gold spray paint. You have some cream colored ones. You've got orange. You've got very, very dark blue, navy blue, and very light powdered blue. And the combination between the gold and the yellow and the bright and the white and the kind of cream and those blues, you won't believe how beautiful this looks. You have to go check out the picture. And then they did napkins with little blue and cream colored stripes, which I thought was beautiful. And they put a little sprig of rosemary and sage tied with a little bit of twine on top of the napkin. But the centerpiece of the whole table are these lots and lots and lots of these little small and large and medium sized pumpkins ranging in different sizes and colors. And it's spectacular. It's one of the most beautiful tables I've seen recently. So there you've got lots of ideas, and you can use these just as a starting off point, you know, just as a jumping off point to make your own design for your own table. And it's just going to look beautiful no matter what you do. And I have to tell you one thing. The table is beautiful when people walk in and they see it. But once the food is on the table, that's all everybody's going to be looking at, okay? So just focus on delicious food, and you can have a very simple place setting too, and that's just fine. But this is for, you know, all of us who are, you know, kind of Pinterest wannabes and decor, you know, I don't know, decor magazine wannabes. I'm never going to get there because I don't have a lot of time or patience, but I'm going to try to do something pretty, and you'll see what I did when you see our video about our Thanksgiving. Okay, so we covered all of the practical tips for prepping your big dinner. We covered how to set the table and have that beautiful festive look. But now I wanted to leave the most important thing for last, and it has to do with being social as a vegan, perhaps when you're going to a non-vegan celebration or dinner, especially Thanksgiving. Because the holiday season, and I'm talking here Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or anything you celebrate, it's also revolving around food, but there's something about Thanksgiving that is all about that button popping, right? It's become so food-centric, and it's, I don't know, well, the holidays are also like that, but you have this big animal in the center of the table, and things can be rough when there's food and there's people who eat in different ways and there's conversation over the table. So I just wanted to give you some tips and some advice for vegans for this Thanksgiving, just in case you are not hosting your own. And by the way, I'm hosting my Thanksgiving, and it's going to be 100% vegan. Half of the guests are vegan, half of the guests are not. Normally when we do these gatherings, nobody is vegan except for my husband and I. And you know, but there when you're hosting and you're preparing this beautiful spread, stress is, it's just not the same. It's not the same as when you have to go as a vegan to a place where they're having non-vegan food and most of the people aren't vegan. So this is what I'm kind of talking about, although you can take this to any other scenario when there's anything social going on. So, you know, I think that when you're hosting your own vegan Thanksgiving, the only issue that you're probably going to have is, you know, getting everything warm to the table and remembering to step out of the kitchen from time to time to enjoy fun and times with family and friends. So these are kind of the things you're going to have to worry about, right? And the truth is that even non-vegans are just going to love the food you're serving, because let's face it, vegan Thanksgiving food is the bomb. It's the bomb. And you can have all your traditional favorites and make them vegan. And you know, everyone will be enjoying the holiday stress-free and eating way too much. So that's just what it's about, right? So this is, I think, simple in at least in the social aspects. You have to do the cooking, but in the social aspects, it's simple, right? But when you're a vegan attending a non-vegan Thanksgiving, things can sometimes, and not always, but they can sometimes be a little bit different than this. So social gatherings were the only thing I struggled with when I went vegan many moons ago. And it all had to do with one little issue. And if there's one tip that I want to focus on today to help you out on this journey, it's this one, and it's confidence. So I didn't struggle with missing foods that I was no longer eating, because there was so much delicious food that I was now eating that I didn't used to eat. So it was like a total change for me when it came to food. I didn't miss my favorite treats. I just substituted them for vegan ones. And the only issue that was hard for me were social gatherings. This was hard. And it was hard because I went into them without feeling confident. So when you go to a social event as a vegan in the early days of this change, especially in the early days, you think this won't even be an issue, right? You think it won't be an issue, that no one is even going to notice when you politely refuse a slice of your grandma's pumpkin pie or the turkey and the gravy that you once loved, and that will be that, right? But this almost never happens. And if you're just making steps in this direction, I just want you to be prepared for that, right? This almost never happens, that people aren't going to notice and they aren't going to say something. People notice, okay? People notice, people ask questions, they make comments, and they tell you all about how they eat and why they don't choose to eat the way that you eat. And yes, sometimes there's a joke or two at your expense, and this happens at least in the very beginning. But please, don't be scared if you're just taking steps in this direction, because this passes. And this is something that we're going to talk probably in another episode, but all of this passed for me. This is just like a very distant memory for me. None of this happens to me now. And this is just kind of part of the process. And it's a good thing, because it helps you with your confidence level. It helps you be kind of a little bit more assertive. And I don't know, it helped me in a lot of ways with things that I wanted to change about myself and that had nothing to do with food. So that's a topic for another episode. But My number one tip for you this Thanksgiving, and this also applies for the holidays, by the way, is to go to any gathering you have with as much confidence as you can muster. I'll say that again because it's my number one tip for holiday gatherings as of going to a holiday gathering as a vegan. Go to any gathering you have with as much confidence as you can muster. And confidence doesn't mean that you're gonna open the door, kick the door open, and start telling people about your vegan lifestyle and the way you eat. No, it means you're gonna go and you're gonna be yourself and you're gonna rock at it, and you don't even have to talk about veganism if you don't want to, but you're going to be able to answer questions with confidence and with ease. Confidence has more to do with being yourself and being relaxed than to being out there, you know, just telling people things about and stats and information, which is also great if you feel like it, but you know what I mean, right? So I want you to just be confident and walk in there like if you're your own self, because that's the reality, right? So remember why you decided to make this change. This is so important. Remember why you did it, why it's important to you, and answer questions as best you can, and always with respect and kindness, but be confident, okay? Be confident in your choice and treat the day as any other day. Let things fly and just be yourself. Be calm and easygoing and just be yourself as much as you can. I know it's hard in the beginning, but this is my number one tip. It will make things a lot easier, a lot faster. So I just want you to view that different plate that you might be eating as the simple personal choice that it is, and one that you're perfectly entitled to make, and just be your usual self. You know, it's we let other people have such a huge opinion onto how we eat, and that's ridiculous, because there is no other choice as personal as that. Well, there are other choices as personal as that, but you know, it's a very, very personal choice what you decide to put in your body, just as how you decide your body's going to look like or any other personal choice. So it's just a choice. It's a personal choice like any other. When you internalize that, you can go and be so much more confident. And I just want you to be yourself. I want you to laugh and play and dance and enjoy the day and answer anyone who asks you why you're now eating this way with your own personal story. Tell your story. Tell them how you've felt by eating this way. Tell them about the delicious food you've been enjoying. And don't worry about the outcome or about convincing them that this is the way they should eat too. I know it's hard when you have all of this new information, especially if you became vegan for animal rights reasons or for the environment. I know, and even for health as well. Health can sometimes make people very resistant. So I know it's hard when you have this new information. You just want to tell everybody you love because you know that they're compassionate and kind people, and you know that they can do it too if you've done it. So I know that this is very powerful. It's a very powerful feeling at the beginning, but just take it easy. Don't be so reliant on the outcome or about convincing them, because it's not going to work if you push, right? Everyone is on their own journey with food, and just by being there, I want you to see how important this is. Just by being there, you might be that little planting of a seed or even the tiniest light bulb moment in someone's head without even trying to. Just by being there, just by being a vegan at that table. So I want you to enjoy the day and offer the host or hostess to help and bring traditional but vegan versions of old time family favorites so that everyone can enjoy them, right? So pumpkin pie or pecan pie and their vegan versions, and mashed potatoes and sweet potato casserole, and even bring, you know, those delicious vegan roasts. All of these are things that are traditional and that you can also bring to the table, and that way you know that you have something yummy to eat, even if your plate looks a little bit different from other people's. So this is something that is a very helpful tip. And you know, I just focus on the fun of having everyone together and sharing a meal. And don't be apologetic about your choice. Don't be apologetic or about the fact that your plate might look a little bit different from everyone else's, or about the fact that you have to say no to someone's pumpkin pie that you've always had for years and years and it was always your favorite. Don't be apologetic. Just, you know, try to be very kind in saying no, and it's totally fine. And, you know, I have to tell you that in countless tables across the world, there are people with dietary restrictions, people who are on special diets for health reasons, people who won't touch broccoli because it looks like a tree. And yes, I have an adult friend who is happy to admit this. There are people who don't like raisins or gravy if it isn't completely smooth. You know, there are people make choices with their dishes and with the way they eat and with what things they eat and what things they don't eat. And your choice of eating and being vegan has such a deep impact and importance in this world. I want you to let that sink in. Your choice of eating and being vegan, it's so important. No matter what the reason for making this change was for you, right? You're creating these little ripples in so many areas, in the animal suffering that you're not going to be contributing to, in the well-being and conservation of our planet and our resources, and in your own health. This is powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. And if someone can say no to something because it has raisins in it and you just don't like it, you can make your choice too. It's a personal choice. So be confident and don't be apologetic about it. It's profound. That's what I want to tell you. It's just profound. And if it's this deep and this profound and this important to you, be proud of the choice that you've made. Be proud, be confident, and just relax on Thanksgiving and focus on the delicious food that might be there or that you yourself brought to the table. Just focus on what you can have and that there are many abundant options to choose from. And even if there weren't at a particular event, just know that the next day you're going to dig into your usual fare, or you can even host your own with all the tips I gave you before and have the most a scrumptious meal, all vegan. So just focus on that. Focus on what's there. Focus on the great blessing of having loved ones still with you, right? Having loved ones still with you, and just have fun. Try to have fun and be relaxed. So I hope you enjoyed this very comprehensive Thanksgiving tips episode and that you have an awesome, awesome day filled with yummy vegan grub and surrounded by the people you love. And of course, we'll be sharing our own little Thanksgiving with you really soon in, video format. And you're gonna be able to check out everything I cooked and everything I did for my table setting and all the wonderful people that came to our little event. And of course, if you thought I was going to leave you without some delicious vegan Thanksgiving recipes, I want you to think again. If you go to bramble.com, there's a little bar at the very top of the page with our Thanksgiving kind of collection, with all of the recipes, both from our blog and YouTube channel, which are available to everyone, and also from our online program where you have so many options, so many recipes, and they're all delicious, and those are what's going to fill my table at Thanksgiving. So you've got so many options. Go check that out, and please have fun on this day, no matter where you're eating or what's available for you. This is a special day. It's a special day of giving thanks. And I'm sure that every single person that is listening to this podcast can find a little something or maybe perhaps a lot to be thankful for. So happy Thanksgiving from all of us here at Bramble. And I'll see you again next week. Have fun.